Well, hey everybody, welcome to another video here from Rivers United Church. This is the third video in a series we're rolling out, so I hope you get a chance to check out the other two. The first one we talked about parenting children through some fears of, around coronavirus. The second video we talked about helping marriages thrive through the added stress that we're experiencing right now. And today we are being joined by a friend of mine, Dave Kleffman. Hello, Dave. How you doing?
Hello, everyone. Good to see you.
Eric. Yeah. Yeah. Some people will recognize you. You have been a guest pastor at Rivers United Church in the past, when it was known under a previous name before our merger. So some folks will recognize you. And Dave, we've asked Dave to come on here today because, Dave, why don't you tell us what is it? Where are you at right now? Where are you at right now? Let's start with that.
Well, I'm a chaplain at Our Lady of Perpetual Help in Virginia Beach. And we are a long-term care facility. We're a community, and we help folks that have issues in things like memory, dementia, and we also have nursing and extensive assisted living. So we're a community of about 123 residents.
Wow. Okay, great. And so today what we want to talk about for the next couple of minutes is we want to explore you know, right now the news keeps talking about the fact that the senior citizens, that seasoned adults, this is the most vulnerable population. And I'll be honest, Dave, you know, from somebody in his 40s who's hearing that doesn't, I don't know how that feels, because I'm not the one that is at high risk here. And so I wanted to have conversation with and our co-lead pastor, John Hunter. We both agreed we needed to bring somebody in here to give voice to this. So what have you been kind of hearing? What advice have you been sharing with folks as you're working with the population that's at the high risk end of this?
Well, you know, this is a new normal for this industry that I'm in. Our residents are quarantined into their room, and we are not even allowing visitors. And part of that means they're not going to be able to see their families. And that's very difficult. So we are implementing new strategies to keep them connected with family and friends. Obviously, electronic means is key. Things like Skype, FaceTime, even Zoom like this is a way for a family to connect to this population. What they're dealing with right now, of course, is a little bit of fear, isolation, loneliness, and sometimes depression. And so what we're doing here at Our Lady is we can no longer have large group activities. For example, I usually hold two church services during the week, and then we also have weekend church services. We serve both Catholics and Protestants here. We're a non-denominational community, but we're sponsored by the Richmond Diocese. So we have Mass. The priest cannot come in anymore for Mass. So we're trying to think of creative ways to meet the spiritual needs here, number one. And that is what we're doing is our activity aides and nursing aides and folks like that, we have a plan where we go in and we spend one-on-one time with every resident, which is fantastic. We've also implemented some other ideas where if there was a resident who really needed to talk to the priest, the local priest here is willing to use his iPhone and do a FaceTime, kind of a FaceTime confession or something. I don't know. But it allows the resident, he or she is confined to their room, and allows them to be able to talk to a priest. As an employee, as a chaplain, I am personally able to go into each room. Usually I stay at a 6-foot distance. And I'm able to pray, share a scripture. I do not serve communion. We've stopped that at this point. So here, at least, we're taking a lot of precautions. In fact, just before this meeting with you, Eric, I was in a 2-hour meeting talking about these very things. So yeah, we're doing a lot.
Okay. So basically, it sounds like You know, as a church, we have an operating policy called Consider the Third Option is the title of it. And I think a lot of people, they get into situations, and this is why we have this policy, they get into situations and they generally lock in on two things. Like, we can go visit grandma, grandpa, we can't go visit grandma, grandpa. And that's all they see. And you're saying, hey, actually, there's a whole wide range of third options for people to consider.
Yeah, I think calling on the elderly is very important. You know, I love how you described your church, Eric. I don't know if you did this online, but you used the term multi-generational. And I think a lot of churches today, and this isn't necessarily a cut against the church at large, but some churches are very focused on youth and children, and that's their big emphasis, which is important, but I think sometimes the senior population gets neglected. So I love it when I hear about churches who refer to themselves as multi-generational. I think churches should be multi-ethnic and multi-generational, and that's a population you don't want to neglect. And one of the things you can do very easily is make a phone call. Most of the elderly population, even if you don't have smartphones, we have residents here who still have flip phones or landlines. And I think now more than ever, even just a phone call, if you have 10 minutes, maybe in your commute home from work, you can just say, hey, grandma, I was thinking about you. I'm praying for you. How are you doing today? I know you're inside your house by yourself. We just want to say we love you. Maybe share some scriptures. One of the things I preached at a church about three or four weeks ago, that the majority of their parishioners were probably 60 and older. And I talked about the idea of not letting fear or even perceived fear take over. And my scripture for them, my theme scripture, was out of Isaiah, I think it's 41:10. It says, fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. Strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And knowing that, number one, we don't have to fear and that God is with us. And I think reminding the elderly population that God is with them, they are loved, they don't have to fear. This too shall pass. It's a virus. We don't have a good grasp in terms of how to best treat it, but it will definitely pass. So I think encouraging them through video, through maybe you make a YouTube video, maybe you do something on FaceTime, maybe you make a phone call, maybe you write, like one of the things my wife is actually doing and my daughter, they're writing every resident a card. And so I'm going to hand deliver a card when I go meet with the resident that has some encouraging scriptures, some kind words, reaffirming God's love for them, reaffirming our love for them. I think we have to really think about these folks. Especially now. I mean, we should be doing this before a virus, you know, we should be taking care of widows and orphans and things that, you know, that we're taught in the Bible. And I think this is a time more than ever that we need to do that.
Well, that's a great idea. And I like the idea of maybe, you know, calling into a nursing home and asking, you know, can they receive mail and can we send letters and, you know, how can we do so safely so they're disinfected and things like that. But, you know, obviously you wouldn't want to be doing that if your family was sick or something like that, but a lot of families aren't sick. And so they, you know, they could be participating and encouraging and looking for partnerships like that. And then if we have, you know, in our own homes or in our own families, that calling in and checking on people, maybe, you know, and if it's a new thing you've never done before, maybe you need to set a daily reminder on your phone. Call grandma, you know, call dad, you know, call Aunt Betty, you know, whoever it might be. Because there is going to be that, I can only imagine, Dave, such an increased feeling of isolation.
Yes.
Is that the right word?
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things that we've done here, which we're thinking through how this might look, is we've let some family members even look through the window of the room and on the phone talk to them, and they can see their son or daughter or grandson or whatever and talk to them. I think there, you have to be creative. I think this more than ever is a chance for the church to shine. And so I think if you can even have an established ministry plan to say, how are we going to help this population in our church? And maybe we expand it. Maybe we know there are some unchurched folks in our community. And maybe you set up something like, you know, churches will adopt a child, the church in, you know, South America. Maybe you adopt or become buddy, like a buddy system where I'm going to assign Mrs. Jones on 3rd Street. She's 97 years old. She lives alone. And this small group in your church, we're going to adopt her and we're going to touch base with her on a regular basis. I mean, there's so many things you can do as a church and be organized about it. I mean, so that you actually are reaching out to a large group of people, and even just a phone call, I think, can go a long way.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. And making sure you call first is important. And start your, make sure you call with the question, how can I help? Don't call with a solution. I've seen that too many times. You know, people will call with a solution to a problem that's really not the problem. So right. If you really want to help, call someplace and just say, hey, we have time. We have the desire. What can we do to help? And I can only imagine for someone in a nursing home, like that would be a refreshing call right now.
Yeah, you know, in this population, one of the things our activities team has started, or we're getting ready to start, is what we call OLPH, which is the abbreviation for our community here, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. It's called OLPH Pen Pals. And so we're going to set up an email address specific for that purpose. And we're asking family members, friends, different people to send a letter to a resident and with encouraging words, maybe with pictures. One of the things I'm doing is, I've never done this before this coronavirus, but I do something called Brighter Days Daily, which is a daily newsletter that includes a devotional thought, a scripture of the day. But I also put a joke of the day, a fact of the day, a fun fact. I put pictures. I put the scenic picture of the day, a pet picture, a baby picture. And so the residents have something they look forward to every day. And so I think be creative, find ways that doesn't necessarily require physical touch or physical contact, but there's things you can do that can really do an amazing thing and help these residents. I mean, they need encouraged. The other thing I'm noticing here is the residents that have televisions, they watch a lot of TV now. And if they're watching news, if they're watching the news constantly being fed with all the, you know, the fear of, you know, the elderly populations at risk, we now have 150 deaths. They're constantly here. Have them watch the news, but not 24/7. Encourage them to watch, you know, religious programming, things that encourage them. I know people are doing Hallmark Channel and all these other things that they can take their minds off of. I think being educated about it is very, very important, but not letting fear to take over. You know, scripture, of course, Paul says that we were not given a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And fear can really take a toll on the elderly population, because a lot of times they're alone and they feel isolated. And so encouraging them, reminding them of these encouraging scriptures so that you can really help them that way.
And I just want to say also to the people that are watching and listening to this that are elderly population at home, you can be engaged in that. You can be writing letters.
Absolutely.
And things to maybe friends that are in a nursing home, you know, or things like that. Like this isn't something just for grandkids to do and kids, you know. There are ways you can have an outlet as this. You can be calling people. You can be praying with people. You can be encouraging others right now to find, to feel, because you still have purpose and yes. Meaning. It's just right now for your safety and health, you need to stay inside, you know, or get out, you know, go out on the deck, do what you can, you know, if you can get outside, but you need to stay away from people. And for a season, your family may need to stay away out of love for you. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't just be home, locked down, watching TV. Write letters, call people, be praying, you know, read that book, go back and read that book in the Bible you've always wanted to read and never have, you know, but, you know, just maybe avoid Revelations right now. I'm just saying. let's stick with the apocalypse. You know? Yeah. Stick with the Gospels. Stick with the Gospels, maybe. But anyway. I think that advice goes both directions. Like, be engaged as a senior citizen right now.
I think, and one of the things I get, especially with this, you know, the average age of our residents here where I serve is 88. That's the average age. So we, in fact, there's a gentleman here who I just adore, and he turned 97 today, and he's a veteran of World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. And so I'm going to go pay him a visit today. But a lot of people who maybe they can't write, you know, maybe they have arthritis or they aren't able to write letters. I mean, calling is good. And even if you can't call, you can. I tell residents, if you don't feel useful in your life and you're in your bed and you can't really do much, man, this would be the time to really pray for people. You can have a prayer ministry. And that's a great thing as well. And even if you're not a senior and you call a senior on the phone, take a minute to pray for them. You don't have to be a great prayer person or have all these important religious words. Just let them know God loves them and pray for them. You know, that goes a long way.
Hey, man, that is great stuff. I'm excited. I had, you know, heard some ideas from you and thought of some things as we were talking that just haven't crossed my mind up to this point. And so thanks, Dave. I really appreciate this conversation. Any last kind of parting thoughts or nuggets or ideas you want to share?
Yeah, I think it's important not to let fear take control of the situation. People can look at statistics and look at death rates and, you know, it's almost like the Black Plague or something. But I think we know this is a time where the church can really shine. And I would, Eric, if you would let me, Pastor, I would love to just maybe say a closing prayer, especially for any, you know, seniors out there who are listening. I'd love to just say a prayer. Could I do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, God, that you are sovereign and that you are in control. And Lord, we know that we do not have to fear. Lord, in fact, you tell us many times in the Bible that we do not have to fear. And God, you are love. Your word says that perfect love casts out fear. So right now, for anyone listening, maybe you're a senior adult and you feel isolated, I just come against fear. I come against anxiety. I come against anything that the enemy would do to convince you that there's no hope. So God, I know that in you there is hope. In you, there is an absence of fear. So I just pray, Lord, you would encourage the hearts of those who hear this prayer today. Give them a sense of hope. Give them a sense of purpose. Help them to know that you haven't forgotten them. Help them to know that you love them. And God, also help us to love this population, Lord. If there's anything that we can do to reach out to these folks that are maybe isolated or alone, or even a local nursing home, ask the Lord, what can we do? And help us to respond to that. Lord, this is a time I believe that the church should rise up. And I know, God, you can use us for such a time as this. You would use us to make a difference. Help us to be sensitive to the needs of others. And help us, Lord, to really shine the light of the Lord during a very dark time. And Lord, we look to you. We know that you're in control. We know that we don't have to fear. And we trust you, God. And we know this is going to pass. And we just trust you, Lord, with the future. And we give this to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Dave, thanks for coming on and sharing. Thanks for being on the front line right now, serving in a nursing home and being there and loving on the residents there and the staff. I know that's a role you wear both hats there. You're loving on the staff and loving on the residents. So thank you for that. And for everyone listening and watching, again, thank you for checking out this video. We invite you to check out the others. And we, again, below this video, if you're watching on YouTube or even on our website, you know, go down, click on the link to join the Digital Weekly. That's our weekly email. That's going to, we're going to use that list to keep you up to date of what's going on. And not just for people that come to Rivers United Church, but for all of those people that are in the communities that we serve. And because of technology, that would be the world. You are in our community if you are watching this, regardless of where you live. So make sure you sign up for our Digital Weekly and reach out to us here at the church. You're going to be submitting prayer requests. You can also contact us if you have questions or needs, or just, you know, we are here. And we are still in community and our community, even though we are supposed to be at least 6 feet apart and no larger groups of 10. So, but we are here for you. So thanks for watching, and be blessed. And thanks a lot, Dave. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.